Wednesday Bible study and fellowship meal at 7 p.m. All are welcome at First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we witness the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, our new president, I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm thankful that he's preserved him. I'm thankful that it's not, as Joe Biden says, a threat to our democracy. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, America was promised that our schools would no longer have the LGBTQ sodomite agenda being taught. We were told by President Trump that we would no longer have the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. I'm looking at a headline that says, parents are chomping at the bit to retake America's classrooms with Trump's return to office. And the article reads in part, now with the far-left ideology becoming increasingly prevalent and the test scores remaining an all-time low, parents are looking for the incoming of President Donald J. Trump's administration to refocus our public schools, drive diversity and content out of the curriculum, equip the parents with more rights over their children's education. Quote, I believe, this writer says, I believe, and I don't think a lot of people would disagree, the decisions are best made by those who are closest to the issue. In K through 12th grade, that means parents and local school boards, not bureaucrats in D.C. So my hope is that the federal government will step out, but in tandem, let the local parents step up and control the education in our schools. And I could go on with a three-page article. It goes on with the percentages of what's taking place in the Department of Education and how it has devolved into an incubator of the weaponization and the sexualization of our children in the public school, rather than, as the old cliche used to be, the three R's, reading and writing and arithmetic. I believe that we need to go back to that. Trump has promised that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, as parents in America, we need to celebrate the inauguration with the praise and the thanksgiving of what God has brought to us to change the trajectory and the direction, the devastation downward spiral of the educational system in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're told that the censorship of conservatives and Christians would stop. Listen, I called it the Trump effect, and we've talked about it a number of times in this broadcast since the November election. Censorship is now correcting itself. I know the rationale. You have Mark Zuckerberg, you have Bezos and others that are coming to Mar-a-Lago sitting down with hat in hand. They see the handwriting on the wall with the Trump effect. Trump said we're going to stop censorship. They're trying to self-govern and stop the censorship before he has to chop their fingers off on the microphones, in my terms. But I believe Trump is still going to carry out his promise. There's a, I believe it's Section 203 that allows the social media platforms to operate and they supposed to be operating with the fact that they're advertising and not advertising, publishing on news agencies, and they're not. Section 230, I believe it's called. And as a result of that, they're witnessing what Trump has already said he's going to do. So the point that I'm making, we need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that Trump has won the election at your hand. We need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that we have a reprieve and the potentiality of getting the morals of the ethics and the values back in our classrooms, the morals, ethics, and values back in our military, the moral, ethics, and values back in the Department of Education. We need to have the morals, ethics, and the values back on the top burner with the ethics and values of our nation being first and foremost and final rather than the bureaucracy of doing what pleases self and setting up their own position for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and et cetera, that infinitum that I could go. FBI, ladies and gentlemen, FBI, I touched on a little earlier. I'm looking at the headline. FBI DEI office, office ahead of Trump inauguration. They shuttered the DEI. I'll read a paragraph. Ahead of the Trump inauguration, the FBI has shuttered its DEI office. The agency confirmed in recent weeks the FBI took steps to close all of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion effective December 2024. This comes as Trump has nominated Kash Patel for the FBI director and current FBI head Christopher Wray in December announced that he would resign before Trump takes office. It goes back to what has taken place back in May when Jordan, Chairman Jim Jordan had sent a letter to Christopher Wray demanding information about the FBI's use of the DEI initiative. Jordan wrote this, listen, the law enforcement and intelligence capabilities of the FBI are degrading because the FBI is no longer hiring the best and the brightest candidates to fill positions as special agents in the FBI. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump said that he would stop that. We need to thank God that he's doing it. Even as he is being inaugurated, the Trump effect is taking effect across America, and we're seeing these things coming about. I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we recognize the hand of God and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I'm looking at an article in the January issue of Decision Magazine. And the January issue says, the Bible clearly says prayer is vital to the success of any leadership. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that the supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And it's Franklin Graham's, of course, giving a quote from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. But he further says this, and I'll touch on this, and then ask Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps to respond to it for our listening audience. He says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people has chosen his own inheritance. It's a quote from Psalms 33. He says, first and foremost, we must pray that President Trump and his advisors will bend their hearts toward God and will humbly seek God's will. I don't know of a better prayer that we could pray for Donald Trump than to pray that God, Franklin Graham says, pray that President Trump and his advisors will bend their hearts toward God and humbly seek his will. Dr. Phelps, what do you say about that prayer request? Is that wise? Should we do that? How do we as citizens implement that?
I believe that we as citizens should do what the Bible teaches us, and that is we must continue in prayer because we're going to need the help of God the next 4 years.
Absolutely.
Because the work is great. Mm-hmm. What the previous administration has done to ruin our country, President Trump needs God's help in order to restore our government and the leadership in our country. But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, we read that we are to continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. We should not stop our praying. We should not cease praying, but we're to continue to pray. If you're listening out there today and you're a Christian, if you're a believing Christian, I use that phrase purposely.
Amen.
That we should pray for the new administration, because we can see great things happen if we will. Read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul was asking the question, should we continue in sin?
Mm-hmm.
And the obvious answer is no.
That's right.
Let's not continue that way. Let's continue in righteousness.
Amen.
And yield ourselves to God as the people of God and pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
Pray without ceasing, because the work of restoring some sanity in the government of our country is not going to be easy.
That's right.
The president and his administration will be opposed by the adversaries of America.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so America has many people who seek to destroy our country. That's something a lot of people need to wake up mm-hmm. to there as Christians. There are some people who do not like America. Too many people are anti-America. I've asked the question, why don't they go to Cuba or some other place where they practice their form of government?
Absolutely.
That they want.
And if that's what they want, we need to get them a plane ticket to get them there.
But we should be giving God the praise, and we should honor Him for what He has done for us.
Amen. Great things He has done. Dr. Davis, the Bible says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it whithersoever He wishes it. That's in Proverbs 21:1. Do you see in the events that have taken place with the election and with Trump being elected and Trump going back in office, and listen, all of the odds makers said he wasn't going to win. All of the pollsters said he wasn't going to win, but yet he did. Do you see in that the truth of that text in Proverbs 21:1, where the king's heart's in the hands of the Lord? Speak to that.
Well, we have to understand, Dr. Youngblood, that God is sovereign and He's always in control.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we think, you know, it may seem like things are going out of hand, but it's actually working according to His divine plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, He spoke to us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. He's speaking to us. He already knows that the people out in the world that are outside of Christ Jesus, they're going to do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think we do sometimes as Christians, we forget about that. We expect for them to do right, and they don't know Christ Jesus.
Right.
If we know Christ, we're supposed to be setting the bar mm-hmm. for them. So that means if we do what we're supposed to do and pray for our leader, as Dr. Phelps just got finished saying, and don't engage in the drunkenness and the rioting mm-hmm. that's going on out in society right now, and everything that's going on that's contrary to the word of God, if we pray and pray for those who are in authority over us, then we're doing our job. Now, listen, I didn't always agree with everything that Joe Biden did mm-hmm. and Joe Biden said, but I prayed for him.
That's right.
Now, we have to understand, doesn't matter whether you like the individual or not. If you're a Christian, you still got to live in this land. You're living in the world, but you're not of the world. But God still expects for you to do your job.
Amen.
So if you didn't pray for that person or for anybody, and you're saying that you don't like them, then you're not doing your job.
Exactly.
Now, here's what I have here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is what I hope everybody will get a grip on, because this is what the Apostle Paul had to say to the Thessalonians. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we, talking about the Christians, may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. When we can come to the conclusion of that and come to understand that no matter what, we got to stop expecting to be treated right. I think that's where a lot of Christians make their mistake at. They think every day they wake up out of their bed, they go to their jobs, go about their various places, wherever they have to go, that people are supposed to treat them right. No, 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 and I'll take your word for this, 10,000 times no.
That's right.
Because they don't know Christ, and they're not going to treat you right.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, again, getting back to what I said earlier, you have to place your full hope and trust and faith in God that he will deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men.
Absolutely. As you touched on that, Dr. Davis, it reminds me, and my mind goes back to Psalms 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in the princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no hope. Our hope should be in the Lord, not in the man. By the way, we talked about the drunken bash and many of them that's going to get drunk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It might be greatly reduced. I just got a news flash that the inauguration is being moved inside because of the freezing sleet and rain that's taking place outside. So that might curtail some of the revelry that will be taking place. And by the way, for those that are not aware of it that's listening today, President Donald Trump does not drink. He does not take a drink, said he never has taken a drink. He disagrees with it. And I'm thankful for that because that sets the bar, as you call it. That sets the stage.
Amen.
As to what
Amen.
People ought to do. It ought not to be that you got to look at this and say, well, he doesn't drink, so I'm not going to drink. But that sets the stage. And as many have heard me say on this broadcast for less than 100 years now, that is, there's no nation that the people will ever rise higher morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically than the political and spiritual leadership in the land. You find a heathen at the office, as we did in Joe Biden. By the way, going back to the admonition in the scripture in 1 Timothy 2, 1, 2, and 3, for us to pray for those that are over us, the kings, etc., etc., I pray for Joe Biden. God either save him or remove him. That was always my prayer.
Amen.
I believe that is an honorable prayer before the Lord. And as we see God placing Donald J. Trump back in the responsible position as our leader in the United States of America, we need to recognize the need to keep praying for him. I believe that every Christian, every conservative, every citizen should pause, and recognize afresh and anew really what God has done. What has God done? You heard me say it in a broader sense earlier. God's answered our prayers. He has answered the prayers of multiplied tens of thousands and yea, even millions across our nation to intervene and put Trump back in office. God has, if we use the vernacular, God's overcome all the obstacles, cut through the chase, and has put Donald Trump back in the position of leading our nation. He's given us Trump as president. God's intervened at least three times that we know of. I believe according to the record of the FBI, supposedly five times Trump's life has been in danger of an assassination. At least three that we know of, God has preserved him from being put to death by an assassin's bullet. So that wasn't happenstance. I don't believe that was by accident. I don't think that was just a bullet that went awry. A nanosecond, and he would be dead when he almost took his ear off in one of those assassination attempts. I believe that God has divinely intervened. God has placed him in a position to be our next president, and he is being inaugurated for that position. And we need to pray, as Franklin Graham said, and I'm in agreement with it, but I'll read it from him, pray that Trump will surround himself with men and women who will give him godly counsel. No one person has enough wisdom to always make the right decision. Pray that the Lord will protect him from all harm and danger. There are plenty, Franklin Graham says, there are plenty of adversaries around the world who would love nothing more than to see President Trump fail, not to mention his adversaries, the main adversary, the devil himself, who especially targets good leadership. So I think that's what we need to pray for. How should we pray? What should we pray for? We need to pray that God will divinely intervene each and every day. Give him wisdom. Give him wise counsel. Give President Trump protection and preservation that he can fulfill his commitments and promises to our nation that is now in great need of firm, strong backbone leadership in our nation. We especially as Christians must praise the Lord and thank him for answering our fervent prayer. We ought to be thankful for the restored hope in America. Our hope in our nation was at a low level.
It was dwindling pretty bad. Yes, sir.
And now there's fresh hope. There are people with aspirations and ambitions and thoughts that we can build a business, we can open a business, we can run our business. There are Christians, should be Christians in churches that are saying, no more intervention from the social media that's going to ding us if we say the wrong thing or take us off the media platforms as a number of them, YouTube and others, had been doing. We need to be thankful and say, thank you, Lord, that people like Zuckerberg and others have been willing to admit what they were doing in the censorship. For me, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, the censorship aspect is probably one of the greater aspects of what God is doing through President Trump. And relieving Christians so that our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our right to keep and bear arms will be preserved in perpetuity under the leadership of Donald J. Trump, which was on the very precipice of being destroyed by the previous administration.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, let's not forget either. Now, this man was going, ballistic. Mm-hmm. Because he was talking about rewriting the Constitution.
Yes.
Man, that was fearful. For me.
Yes.
When I sat back and I thought about this thing and I read it many a times, and our forefathers did the best that they could do mm-hmm. with the knowledge that they had. And I have to believe that God did direct them into what to write as the basic foundation for this country. But for someone to go along and try to disassemble that and rearrange it and say, oh, that's not fitting for this day and time. They do the same thing with the Word of God. They say it needs to be rewritten. Andy Stanley says mm-hmm. it needs to be tossed out, certain things like that. So we have to be careful, you know, when it comes down to these kind of things and have to realize that we are a blessed nation.
Amen.
There is no other nation on the face of the earth that can enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country. So listen, if you didn't do it the first time, you better jump on board. This train is pulling out.
Amen.
It's time for you to get on board now. There's no reason to sit back in a corner and hide under a blanket or get in the closet and say, I'm fearful for what might happen. Or maybe you might be like the people in St. John chapter 9 when Jesus healed the son of his sight. And they wanted to ask the parents who healed him. They were scared to say anything because they feared being put out of the church. Mm-hmm. So they said, go ask him. He's of age. Listen, time out for that. It's time for you to get on board. Either you are for God or you are against him.
Amen.
So it's high time for you to get on board.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, as I'm listening to Dr. Davis and agreeing with what he's saying, what specifically would you like to challenge our listeners with? Perhaps pastors are listening, Sunday school teachers, deacons, Christians in general. What is your main focus of challenge in this new era? With Trump's inauguration and moving forward, how should we then live?
I believe one of the first things that we should do is to rededicate ourselves or yield ourselves completely to God's control and be a person whose vessel, his body, and his life can be used to the glory of God. We need to be sanctified vessels we should live holy lives. We should begin to pray. We talk about prayer a lot around here in our church. And I believe that prayer is the plan of God for my life mm-hmm. and for all of God's people. If we do not pray, we're disobedient Christians.
That's right.
And many Christians may talk about prayer, but they don't practice it. We need to enter into continuation in prayer and purpose to give ourselves continually to praying. Pray for our families. Pray for our churches. Pray for our administration in Washington. Pray for America. Pray that God would raise up men and women who will take a stand for the truth. We're moving so far away from the truth in our country. We're missing out on wonderful things and blessings the blessings of God. We need to praise the Lord more when Amen. We pray.
Amen.
I find that when we read in the Psalms in the Old Testament that David was a man who wanted to praise the Lord. And I was thinking of Psalm 40, verse number 5. He said, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered." He says, he is saying, I believe, we have a lot of things we can praise God for.
Absolutely.
God is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Let's give God the praise for what he's doing. And let's begin to bend our knees, bend our hearts, and talk to God about America. Talk to God about our churches. We need Christians who will be active, who will not forsake the assembling of themselves
right.
together as the manner of some is. Many Christians have forsaken the church, but we need to get back to God's house.
Absolutely.
I like the song sometimes we hear in our church, "I have returned to the God of my fathers."
Amen.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
And we need to return to the way of our forefathers, our fathers, our mothers, and come back to serving God mm-hmm. wholeheartedly
Absolutely.
And giving ourselves completely to the work of the ministry.
Absolutely. Well, I say this, and I'll let Dr. Davis take a moment before our broadcast time is over. I believe we need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to God's Word. We need to turn back to the house of God. We need revival in our nation. And I have a little parenthetical footnote to add to all that we've said today. And that's simply, if we don't grasp this moment in time, if we don't celebrate God's providence and His mercy and His grace, we may not have this opportunity again right. in the future.
Amen.
We need to recognize what
Amen.
God's done
Amen.
And grasp it while we have the opportunity. We need to get back in church, get back to the Bible, get back to the Word of God, study His Word, and allow His Word to permeate our hearts. Dr. Davis got about 20 seconds. Wrap us up.
Well, in the words of the psalmist in Psalm 73, which is one of my favorite, "My foot had almost slipped. I didn't understand why the wicked was getting away with so much until I went to the house of God." Amen. And when I went to the house of God and heard the gospel preached, then I realized we ought to fear God and keep His commandments, because that's our whole duty, because everything that we're doing that's against His Word is going to be brought into the judgment of God.
Amen.
Amen. So
Ladies
let's be aware of that.
Thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.